Hi, sex nerds. This episode is sponsored by AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com, type in promo code SEXNERD, and you get so many things. You get that free shipping that everybody likes. I know I like it. Let's see, you get 50% off almost anything in the store. You get 3 free DVDs and a super secret extra gift. So that's cool. And you know what, guys? I'm going to do a game. And the game is that Adam and Eve has a lot of really cool-looking toys, like lots of interesting shapes and sizes, and I don't know what's going to work for you. So you know what I want to do? I want you to give yourself the permission to get a toy that you are curious about, that you're like, is that a thing? Is that something that's going to work for my body? And then let me know what you think. Tell me the toy, and you know, maybe email me a one little paragraph review, something short. And I'll totally tell everybody about it, whether you liked it or not. Just share it with me, because I'm curious. So many shapes. Anyway, again, go to AdamandEve.com, type in promo code SEXNERD, and you get that 50% off almost anything. You get 3 free DVDs anyway, free gift, and free shipping. So enjoy. I cannot wait to hear from you.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hey, sex monkeys. Is that a thing? Am I allowed to call you sex monkeys? Because, I mean, I know you're naughty monkeys, but sometimes you're just straight up sex monkeys. Is that allowed? Is that rude for me to call you that? I don't know. I feel good about it. It's a pet name, really. It's very affectionate. We have an understanding, right? Right? Okay. So, dates. I am prepping for some wild and wonderful shows coming at you on the East Coast. Live podcast dates, Boston, Friday 9/6. I'm going to be over at the Middle East Club, then New York City. On Thursday, 9/12, I will be at Pianos NYC, Philadelphia. Guys, Tuesday, 9/17, go Eagles. And Washington, D.C., I'll be there Sunday, 9/22, at Bus Boys and Poets, 5th and K location. All of these dates are selling very well, so I highly recommend you get your tickets quick. I'll let your friends know. It's definitely, well, it's some of the dates are over 21 and some of them are over 18. Definitely bring your mom, bring your hubby, bring your partner, bring your friends, bring your neighbor, bring whoever you want. People are going to have a good time and spread the good word of sex positivity. It'll be great. Also, workshop dates. So I'm going to be going around, just so you know, Boston, I'll be teaching adult superpowers on 9/5. Which is a Thursday. And then Philadelphia, I'll be at Sexploratorium on Sunday, September 15th. Guys, it's a back-to-back blowjob set of workshops. Beginner and advanced. Okay, I've never done a back-to-back, and it's kind of been one of my dreams, so get on that. Washington, D.C., I'll be at Lotus Blooms in Alexandria, teaching Boning 101, a strong foundation for any sex nerd, on September 20th. Okay, those dates are going to be at sexnerdsandra.com, and tickets will be available shortly for the workshops. Tickets are already available for live podcast dates. Please grab those tickets and bring your friends. I cannot wait to see you, and I can't wait to meet you, and I can't wait to hug you consensually. OPS, this episode is a wonderful recording with Kate McCombs, who you met a while ago talking about Australia. She just moved to New York City. So East Coast sex nerds, just so you know, she's over there. Also, there will be a sex nerd naughty monkey meetup in New York City. I don't have the date for that yet, but there definitely will be something where we will be drinking at a bar, hanging out. Well, there will definitely be that after the New York Pianos NYC show on 9/12, but maybe another night of just hanging out as well, because I like you guys. It's true. I'm shy. I'm introverted. I'm kind of a hermit, but also I do like coming out and meeting wonderful people and just learning more about you. Basically, let's be friends. That's what I'm saying. I'm putting it out there. All right, guys. Enjoy the show. There's lots of giggling. I hope you like giggling. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Am I being weird?
We're all weird.
Yeah.
We're all weird here.
You guys, Hi, everyone. Guess what? Kate McCombs is back on the show from Australia. Hey, Kate McCombs again.
Hi, Sandra.
You may remember Kate McCombs from the episode where we talked about Australia and how much better they are than America and koalas and their really kinky sex, etc. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
For folks who didn't download that episode and listen to it, lame. Judging you. What? No, it's fine. It's fine. Select whatever episodes that you feel drawn to via their title. It's fine. Whatever. I'm not. Who are you, Kate? Tell us everything.
Well, I am a sex educator.
Hell yeah, you are.
I do a number of different sex educatory things. Like, I run something called Sex Geekdom, which is a community for sex geeks like me and sex nerds like Sandra, who like to sit around and talk about sexy things.
Hell yeah, we do.
And
but not if you want to hook up with someone. You come to the meetup to talk about sex in a nerdy and intellectual way.
Exactly.
Not too feely
passionate about intellectual curiosity around sex. Not about, there's no nudity at Sex Geekdom stuff.
Yeah. Wait, you blog for Debbie's site?
Yeah, I blog for mysexprofessor.com, and I occasionally blog for the Sex Geekdom blog as well. And then I also teach workshops, and I work for the University of Melbourne doing various academic-y things.
Yeah, master's in public health, I believe.
Yes, master's in public health.
Fancy lady. Oh. How long does it take you to write a blog post?
Oh, God, it depends on the blog post. Sometimes it takes me, like, weeks, not of writing it constantly, but just kind of to form my ideas. And then sometimes I'll be in the shower or something, and I'll kind of have a brain explosion, and I'll be able to get it all out in, like, 15 minutes, and it's a cohesive blog post that just needs editing. So it really depends.
No, you're right. Your writing is great. For me, for me, writing is this thing where really good things come out, but it takes a lot of bleeding. Like, it's just, it's painful, and it's like, but when I actually get into a zone, like, really awesome things happen. But I have so many blog posts that just never were finished because my brain will work in a way where it's like, yeah, this is exciting. And then I'm on to the next thing. And if I didn't finish the blog post, I don't care anymore.
Like, mm-hmm. I can understand that. It can be painful to reread what you've already written. I always get other people to edit my stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the editing other people.
Yeah. Yeah, my husband used to edit a blog for a living, so that's handy to have him around. He's very generous about reading all my stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. But it's also just because we're excited about sex things.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And for me, there is a certain, like, squirrel aspect. Like, oh, what's over there? Oh, this is, oh, I'll tweet something and I'm done. And what's over here? Oh, that. Oh, I'll tweet something. I'm done. You know, and like, maybe I should write a freaking blog post or something. Anyway, we are here today. We are gathered here to talk about one of your workshops that you teach.
Yeah.
Eroticizing safe sex.
I love talking about eroticizing safer sex. It's really fun to teach, and most of my students have never had an experience where they are learning about pleasure and safer sex in the same context. I always ask people, like, did they have sex ed previously, and did it include any messages around pleasure? And the vast, vast majority of people in both Australia and the US that I've taught have said,
no.
And if there are examples, it's like, the sex ed talked about wet dreams or maybe masturbation.
They totally warn you about wet dreams a lot, don't they?
Yeah. And that's like an orgasm in your sleep, but it's like about boys. Like, girls' pleasure stuff is generally not on the agenda.
Totally not.
The exception to this, it's really funny, when I teach in Australia, there's like this one school in rural Victoria where they had this awesome sex educator, and I actually am friends with her now, but they all got this awesome pleasure inclusive stuff, like, very age appropriate, just like, this is what the clitoris is and masturbation's okay and healthy, like, nothing really risque. But this one school, they got her, and occasionally I get her students in my workshops, which is really fun.
And you get to see the trickle down.
Yeah, I know. And then I get to go tell her about it, which is cool.
Aww.
She comes to Sex Geekdom in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
She's rad.
Oh, you sex educator. I mean, I feel like here in the States, us sex educators who work for organizations are trapped where the policies don't allow to talk about pleasure. Because you had said something like, to not separate the two.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes it's, okay, we're going to have this workshop about how to have really hot orgasms, or we're going to have this workshop that's all about how to avoid disease. And kind of integrating the two is something that, you know, is being done, but is done more rarely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, when I talk to people who are up in pleasure's business and just in their personal lives, yeah. it's the sex ed stuff when it comes to having the conversation. It can get a little messy. It can definitely get a little messy because it's like, but I just want to get down. And, you know, we're developing really good language around our communication skills for relationships.
Yeah. Well, and those relationship communication skills are really useful for pleasure context and for safer sex context. I mean, those are very transferable mm-hmm. from one to the other.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's something that's kind of tricky because sometimes when I say something like pleasure inclusive sex ed, people assume that I mean something really, really risque. Like I did my, we were talking earlier, I did my master's research on pleasure inclusive sex ed. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first day of our little get together with the other master's research students, we were sitting around a table and we were all going around saying what we wanted to study. And, you know, other people were saying like, oh, something about maternal health or malaria. And it's like pleasure inclusive sex ed. And this one woman just looked at me. She's like, what do you mean? Like the Kama Sutra? Like she was really, she later apologized to me actually, because she totally got it later. But, but it was still kind of thinking that I must mean this, you know, how to have really extreme, crazy sex positions or something like that. When it's actually really simple stuff, like using lube, that's often not taught in condom education. And that makes a huge difference. I can't imagine using condoms without lube.
It is the biggest difference ever. Absolutely. May I disclose personal information?
Oh, please do.
Because, I mean, I know I come from the school of, like, let me just tell you about things. And you're like, I'm a professional. And we're, like, teaching in schools and, like, sex neutral and encouraging. And I'm like, let me tell you this thing. Yeah. When I made the switch from birth control back over to condoms, mm-hmm. and there was this, my partner at the time was like, you're like, we're going to do this, right? We're committed. I'm not doing hormonal. Because I've been on hormonal and then been mm-hmm. off because I'm like, that doesn't work for me. And it's like, oh, God, are we really going to use condoms? Or are we going to be naughty monkeys, like the naughtier kind that's really not, you shouldn't do that. And we're like, no, we're going to do it. And then we just did a lot of oral for a while mm-hmm. and we just didn't do any penetrative sex.
Mm.
And it was fun. It was fine. But you knew, I was like, we knew. Like, you just feel it. Like, we are going to have condomed sex at some point. And I was like, prepared. And I was like, I had the good, like, extra thick silicone lube. Yeah. So, like, it just real juicy stuff. And then, like, in the dark, I'm like, all right, we're going to freaking do this. And, like, slather them with lube. Not too much lube.
So that it slips off. Because you don't want
right,
that.
You don't
you
want
enough lube. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then, but just like really nice coating, and like I knew the way the condom fit that it would all work together, and it was like a masterpiece. And I was like, okay, the
lube. That's amazing.
And then like pinching the tip and then rolling it down, it's in the dark, you know. But then, like, because it was sort of a transition from oral, and then like I was just thinking in my head, knowing what our patterns were and how we tend to reach orgasm, I was like, okay, clearly I'm thinking you're not going to be able to come with this condom on. But we're going to work it out after. But let's just, you know, I'm just thinking, like, we're just going to do this.
Yeah.
Fucker came within, like, 3 minutes. Because I was like, there's no way you're going to. And then after, he's like, did you actually put a condom on? I'm like, first of all, how did you not ask me if you didn't think there was a condom on? And two, look at us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really inspiring story. Can I tell that to people?
Like, of when course. I teach
about
of course.
The inspiring Sandra sex, safer sex story.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, definitely.
But I think you do bring up an important point, though, that it can be sort of an issue when you're transitioning back to using condoms, or when you know, any period of time where you haven't been using them and you're using them again. Because mm-hmm. often I think what makes it easier for people to use condoms is when it's become a habit. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember learning from, you know, Charlie Glickman.
Yeah.
You love Charlie Glickman. He's amazing. I used to work for him at Good Vibes, and oh. so much of what I've learned from him.
Oh.
But I remember one of the things he was teaching me is about, like, condom use and how that it can feel like less sensation when you first start to use them after a period of not using them. But mm-hmm. eventually your nerve endings do get used to it, and you are able to experience more pleasure than that first time of using.
You know, I haven't heard it explained like that, but that actually makes a lot of sense.
I think that's useful to know, because even if it's, oh, this is frustrating, this is a lot less sensation, like that is something that can go away and you can still
right.
experience lots of fun, sexy stimulation.
Yeah, I mean, just even with vibrator use, knowing that your nerve endings will react after using vibrators for a long time
yeah.
versus not. It's just the nerve endings kind of
shift.
Yes, they do. Mm. I love when people say shift.
Mm, I love a good shift.
So, Miss McCombs.
Yes.
Ms. McCombs. I asked you to bring in a tip today, and I believe it is time to bring it on. Just the tip.
Just the tip?
Just that tip.
All right. So it's a three-pronged tip. Is that all right?
Ooh, that sounds kinky.
Echidnas have a four-pronged penis, actually.
What is an echidna?
An echidna. Oh, it's an Australian animal. It's actually on money. It's on the five-cent coin. So you know what a platypus is, right?
Heck yes.
Okay, so a platypus is a monotreme, which is an egg-laying mammal. That's like the type of animal that is. There's only two monotremes, I believe. Although I think there's like some sub. There's like two different kinds of echidnas, so there might technically be three. But anyway, there's monotremes, egg-laying mammals. So echidna is the other egg-laying mammal.
Is it as adorable as a platypus?
No. They look like, well, they are cute. They look kind of like hedgehogs. They're kind of spiky. They don't have a duck bill or anything like that.
Would they have a four-pronged penis?
Four-pronged penis. It's crazy.
Wait, like it comes out from one place and then like, rah, like it's a scary ninja weapon.
Yeah.
Get you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I really should know. There's got to be some sort of evolutionary advantage. Like it sprays all this semen all around the female echidna's vagina or something.
Oh, like so it doesn't penetrate.
I think it does. It's a whole penetrate-y thing.
Oh, it sounded sprayish, like. Psh, psh, psh. Gotcha.
Oh, I think like.
Gotcha.
I think once it's in there, and then it sprays.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so this is a multi-pronged tip, like the echidna penis, but this is only three instead of four.
That was a little learning session about animals. I want to do an animal kingdom sex show.
I know a guy. Okay. He's fun at parties.
I bet he is. So give me that tip. All of it.
I'll give you all that tip. Okay. So this is something that I like to tell people at the end of my workshops, even if they forget some of the contents, like they don't necessarily remember exactly where the clitoral hood is or something like that. These three tips, and I always write them on the board. So the first one is be curious. Mm-hmm. So I love that that's part of, Sandra, I love that that's part of your kind of personal branding.
Endlessly
curious. Curiosity is so important because it's not only being curious about what's going on for yourself and what makes you happy and what you need and what's going on with you emotionally, what things you need to communicate, but also being curious about what's going on with your partner and what makes their bodies light up and what makes their brains light up and all of that sort of stuff. And I think coming from a place of curiosity rather than something like, you know, like desperation or kind of like being really interrogative to try to get to know what's going on with someone, being curious, I think, is a nice space to be in.
It's like I like to think of curiosity as like the positive. Like asking the question why, but in a positive way. Instead of like, why am I like this? It's like, why is it like this? Oh, and then what about that? You know, like it's
absolutely
finding out things that are helpful, not getting down on yourself and not like, what's wrong with me? Like people can kind of think that that means that they're curious about.
Absolutely. I think it's like taking uncertainty and shifting it to something that is more, kind of more lighthearted and more kind of useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So be curious is the first prong.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, I felt it.
Okay. Second, number two is be playful.
Okay.
You are super playful. I'm guessing this is something that is like second nature to you.
Am I super playful?
Yeah, totally. Like you got your pun laugh too. Like, like your pun laugh. That's playful. But I like the idea of playfulness in sexuality because often, there are some issues in sexuality that should be taken seriously, but others people take way more seriously than is really necessary, especially when they're trying something new. Sometimes, as long as you're being communicative and there's lots of consent, having a sense of play can make it so if something doesn't really work out very well, it's like, okay, well, we played that and that didn't work out. Let's move on to the next thing. And again, it kind of attaches to that concept of curiosity. Like it can be really just having a sense of fun, like go team fun, you know?
Yeah, go team fun.
Exactly.
It is the utmost of the playfulness.
Absolutely. So number three, you ready for number three?
I'm ready. Wait, do I even have room for the third tip? Because I'm already so filled up by those last two.
Do we need more lube?
Yeah, could you? Oh, that's better. Okay, I can take it now.
All right, tip number three, or prong number three of the tip. Is being mindful. You talk about this a lot, the importance of being mindful.
Do I?
Yeah. In our conversations. I've heard you say that on the show before, about being mindful and the importance of that.
I think I don't use the word mindful, but I am mindful.
Maybe I'm just hearing the word.
Define mindful.
Oh, I like that. Defining mindful, being present and being paying attention.
Totes,
paying attention.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on board now.
Yeah. So, and that's fairly apparent what that means. Just being kind of there, and so that you can hear your partner's consent, and you can hear what's really hot for them, and you're paying attention, and being curious and playful along with that. It's a pretty good combination. A little trifecta of awesome.
Be curious, be playful, be mindful.
I love it.
I like it too. I'll take all of it. I'll put it somewhere that feels good. I love that. And that's important, because the attitude is everything. The knowledge is Googleable.
Mm-hmm.
But the attitude is everything.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of the reasons why I feel especially passionate about creating spaces where these sorts of conversations can happen. Because, you know, as you say, like, certain things are Googleable. Like, if you want to know, like, what percentage of people with chlamydia have symptoms or something like that, that's fairly mm-hmm. easily Googleable. Mm-hmm. But
get the pretend word right.
Yeah. but, you know, something like being, you know, having a positive outlook on sexuality and feeling, you know, like you are able to make things happen for yourself in your life and things like that. That's more of an attitudinal shift. And that's a little bit more of a process.
Attitudinal.
That's a real word, I swear.
I like it. I'm into it. So, Miss Public Health, you did your master's thesis on pleasure in sex ed.
I did.
And you haven't told me yet what the title is, but you kind of rolled your eyes and was like, oh, do you even want to know what the title is? Like, and I was like, no, really, what was the title?
It's a mouthful.
Okay. I think I can totally take a mouthful. You know? I don't, why am I saying these
We are
things?
Just punning all over the place, aren't we?
I'm embarrassed by how much I just was like, I can put things in my mouth a lot. Like, oh my God.
All right. So the whole title was The Acceptability of Pleasure-Inclusive STI and HIV Prevention Approaches. See, you're bored already by the end of that sentence.
Why are scholastic, like, titles so long in a way where...
I know.
What was the beginning of that?
The acceptability of. So I was... There's not a lot of research that's been done on this. So it was sort of, instead of about the effectiveness, it was about how people... It was very qualitative, like how these people who are doing this sorts of education find it acceptable or not. Yeah.
Do you mean by the communities that they try and teach this in?
Mm-hmm. So I looked at the communities that they deliver those sort of prevention messages, what data there was on how those communities felt, how the actual deliverers of that content, like the sex educators and the health promotion officers and things like that, what they thought about it, and then also kind of what the more head bodies thought about. Does that make sense?
Okay, like, so it's like, oh crap, we're about to talk about sex ed to our, was it like kids?
Very little with kids, mostly young adults.
Okay.
Lots of programs that were targeting sex workers or men who have sex with men and things like that.
Okay. So, you know, generally adults mm-hmm. or post-pubescent mm-hmm. folks. I'm imagining that these were studies done in, like, L.A. or, like...
Surprising. I mean, I know a lot of it is happening in California because I know people who do that kind of education. Mm-hmm. But relatively little of it has been written about in mm-hmm. sort of academic and academic-like sources.
I feel like so much good is going on in sexuality education and no one's documenting it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reinventing of the wheel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something that there needs to be more skill sharing and more kind of consolidating of knowledge, I think, and especially outside the conference sort of
right.
sphere. Because I think, like, especially in Australia, conferences are really expensive to go to.
Oh, they're really expensive here. Don't get me wrong.
They're like twice as expensive in Australia. It's
seriously
crazy. Yeah. Like, I'm going to a conference next weekend and it was something like $300 this is in San Francisco. And conferences in Australia, some of the ones I've looked at, haven't gone to, are like $800.
The crazy. Professional conference is like ASECT. That one's like $600 to $800.
Oh, like. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
So that one's pricey.
Yeah. What is that about? That seems really...
It's
not
professional
good.
Professional conferences. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe they cost that much to run, but I don't really know.
What were we just talking about before we started talking about conferences? Oh, so sex ed outside the conference zone and skill sharing. So, because I know that you focused a little bit on global health too. Like you mentioned that when we were chatting. what makes it okay to talk about pleasure and sex? Because I know a lot of people, they shut down when they think about that. Like, so much of it is disease. Yeah. Don't get a disease.
Well, some of it, too, is even from, like, sometimes when I tell colleagues that I'm interested in talking about pleasure in the context of sex ed, and they're kind of often, the reaction is, don't rock the boat. Like, we can barely get contraception on the agenda, let alone talking about pleasure. And I think sometimes it's important for me to clarify, you know, what I mean. Like, you know, as I said before, like things like that masturbation is okay. And, you know, and the location of the clitoris, you know, we talk about the penis in sex ed, but often don't talk about the clitoris. So it's often nothing that's really, really complicated.
So you're not necessarily saying like how to give good cunnilingus.
It's not always like a, you know, exactly, like not how to give mind-blowing oral sex. Like, well, I think that's a valid sex education that people are entitled to. That's less what I mean.
Okay, like condoms.
Yeah.
How do you talk about condoms? Because, I mean, I remember learning about condoms. It was pinch the tip, roll down, hang on for dear life. Mm-hmm. That was generally the conversation.
Don't get disease. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I talk about things like using lube, that being really important, and some of it is about giving people choices that can contribute to pleasure. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like using different kinds of lube.
Mm-hmm.
Some people prefer silicone-based lube. Some people prefer water-based lube. Some people like something that's a combination of the two. And that's a really simple message that can contribute to pleasure. And also finding a condom that fits you well, not just in terms of the length, but condoms come in different widths and they have different textures and they have different thicknesses and different materials. Lots of people lately have been talking to me about how much they like the polyisoprene condoms. They're one non-latex ones.
The Lifestyle Skin, mm-hmm. SKYN condoms.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, they came out with a large size.
I know. It's great. Amazing. They don't have those in Australia.
Ooh, we should get some before you come back.
Yeah.
Just like your little like American stash of large non-latex condoms.
One of my friends gave me a lube order because the lube market's fairly limited in Australia.
Oh.
So I'm picking up some lube for her.
Oh, sweet. Back.
I know. I'm a nice friend.
Okay, so choices are good. Lube, very important. I appreciate that. Condom choice is important. We have so many options here. Like I'm really nerdy about like thickness of latex.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular brands that you recommend for people who want a thinner feel?
Oh, do you know about Sagami condoms?
Sagami?
Have you ever heard of these?
They sound Japanese.
Yeah, I believe they are. A sex educator friend of mine, she brought back this like cache of condoms the last time she went to Singapore and brought them back to Australia. And we were just kind of geeking out about condoms. We teach together sometimes, mm-hmm. and we were like playing with all of them. And this one condom that she had, it was so thin. It was unreal how thin it was. I think it was some kind of polyurethane.
Okay.
But the technology was just unlike anything I had seen in the U.S.
Interesting.
And yeah, super, super thin. Did feel like you'd need a lot of lube with it. But it seemed like when I put it on my finger, I could feel a lot more than through a normal latex condom. Yeah. So I think that would be something, too, like for seeking out, you know, having it be like the curiosity thing again, like, I wonder what kind of condom would feel most awesome for me. And then, you know, find it and masturbate with it on and do a little sex labbing.
Yeah, so important.
Absolutely.
Are Sagami condoms, were they packaged in a foil pouch or were they in a cup?
In a cup.
I think I remember being with someone and busted out some Japanese action a long time ago. And I was like, oh, what are these? But at the same time, the sizing is so different.
Yeah. They do make a large one of one of their thinner ones, but it's not as large as the
regular
American. Large. Yeah. Ooh. But still a little more room.
Right.
But you know, there's lots of different shapes and sizes. And
oh, no, no. It's nice to have a variety
for
everyone.
Yeah. And I like to talk about female condoms too. It's really funny. Sometimes I'm in a room full of public health people who've never seen a female condom. They might know what they are, but
I call it like a windsock of fun.
A windsock of fun. Have you gotten to play with the new female condom?
The one made of nitrile?
Yeah.
I tried inserting it and everything was terrible.
Oh, really?
It was more like I have like a giant bag of them at home and I know I just need to sit down with my vagina and some female condoms and like work it out.
Mm-hmm. There is a bit of a learning curve with them.
It is. Once you get it, though, it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the polyurethane ones from a long time ago. It was, I think it was really just my skill level and patience.
Oh, yeah. Because the polyurethane ones are noisier. It's yeah. That like, yeah, yeah. The chip bag noise a little yeah, more.
Thankfully.
But with both of them, one of the things I like to teach is that the outer ring for some female bodied people actually lines up quite nicely with the clitoris.
Really?
And the tugging, like from the penetration, can kind of pull on that ring a little bit and for some people, can stimulate the clitoris in quite a pleasurable way.
Huh.
Still need lots of lube.
Oh, yeah, lots of lube.
Like, more surface area in the female condom, more lube necessary.
That is one really fun thing. Okay, P.S. For anyone who hasn't seen a female condom, I realize I say windsock because at least you kind of get a sense of it, but it's almost like a butterfly net, right?
Yeah. Oh, I like butterfly yeah. net. I'm going to use that.
Oh, good. And so you insert
except without the
back.
Porousness.
Right. right. And then so then the bag goes in. It's I think of it like laminating the walls of the vagina.
Oh, yeah.
So that it's just the thing penetrating. I say the thing penetrating. I'm like, oh, gender inclusive. The thing. It doesn't have to be wearing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if you were dealing with a girthier than average penis.
It's great as an option for people yeah. who are girthier. Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, I'll have to play with it because I do remember, I did actually quite like the fact that the penis would move freely from the material. Mm-hmm. It was a different sensation mm-hmm. all around. So that's pretty cool. And you can use more lube.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But I struggled with the twisting, like the material twisting a bit.
Oh, interesting. Like once you got it in?
Yeah. But that was me being clumsy and I know that. Like, I know, because I've had successful female condom experiences in my life, and it was fine and great, actually. But now I want to go back, because now you're convincing me that there's actually some pleasure possibly to be played with as to the ring placement on the outside on the vulva.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine, too, like, if you had a vibrator. I haven't tried this, but...
Does the ring vibrate when you put a vibrator on it?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I wonder if it does.
I wish I had a female condom right here.
That would be cool to see. Mm, yeah. Huh. Anyway.
Yeah. Cool. Also, do you talk to people about them being butt bags, too?
Butt bags. That's really vivid. I do mention that that's a possibility as well, especially for people who are concerned about skin-to-skin transmission STIs. Mm-hmm. So, because the female condom offers a little more coverage yes. for that area. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't tell people that the female condom, because it my thought was that if you use it anally, and because, you can miss. That's the one thing about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not too dramatic, but you can miss and maybe insert and not be in the condom. Mm-hmm. So you have to just be aware and not be drinking like 5 drinks before you do mm-hmm. your first female condom experience. Gauge yourself. But if you push the whole thing in, then it's hard to get it out. But then I started talking to all these gay men who were using them for mm. that, and they would call them butt bags. And I was like, but what if you push it in? What if you push it in? They're like, no, you just, and if it were, you just pull it. It's not. It's fine. Like,
I'm sure it's happened, but I can't imagine that'd be easy to do, to push it in all the way. I think that'd be hard.
I mean, have you ever had crazy, aggressive, like fun anal sex? Things get crazy. Things get lost in the mix.
So to speak.
I'm just saying. I'm keeping an eye out. I'm keeping an eye on the prize. I'm keeping an eye, I want everyone to have a great time and also be safe and not lose their female condom or butt bag.
That's true. But it'd be a lot less embarrassing if, you had to go to a doctor to get that removed than, like some sort of vegetable accoutrement or something.
And I have a feeling it's not as dramatic because it's not like necessarily creating blockage or moving mm-hmm. up. That's not informed at all, though. That's an assumption that I'm having. I am acknowledging when I'm not speaking from like hard knowledge.
I have never heard of anyone actually losing a female condom in their bum. Mm-hmm. I doubt that's. Yeah.
So butt bags for everybody. Okay. All right. So what did you find out about? Is pleasure inclusive sex ed better?
Well, it's difficult to say because the data is pretty limited at this point, but it's enough to inspire optimism. So what I sort of found in my, in the research that I did is that it's something that the audiences generally really want. Like if there was only one study that I found at the time that addressed young people, and their questions were more around things like masturbation. But people want that content, but often the educators aren't you know, equipped to deliver that. They don't necessarily know the content, or they are so desperately scared that whoever is funding them or hiring them is going to get all up in arms if they answer a question about the G-spot, mm-hmm. you know, just as an example. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's kind of more where the barriers are. Like, it's not that people are saying, oh no, please don't give me information about pleasure or, you know, about the behavioral and enjoyment aspects of sex. It's more a fear from the funder side of things and the departmental and governmental side of things.
Oh, funder. Funding.
Yeah. Not but putting like, the fun in funder.
Right. Well, like, oh, that sounds fun. The fun. Oh, that's just money. Oh, okay.
Just money. Yeah.
It's interesting because I imagine because I come from such a stronger, like, pleasure inclusive, it sounds like it's just holistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, why are we ignoring? Like, why are we talking about disease prevention about something that's so pleasurable? It should just be holistic.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm the perv who comes after you. Like, you do the, like, the eroticizing sex ed, safe sex, because and I'd be like, oh, use lube, find things that can cause pleasure, and then I come after you, and I'm like the next hour, and I go, okay, guys, no, seriously, like, get out your gloves, you know, and now let's talk about what you can do with your. I don't know.
I do love doing the lube glove demonstration.
Which, what's that?
Oh, a lot of sex educators do this. It's like when you you have people shake hands, like two people with each wearing a glove of some description, mm-hmm. And they shake hands, and then they add lube inside and outside while they shake hands, and they describe the comparison of the sensations, and it's pretty dramatic how different it is. People always make kind of an awkward face, like, whoa, this is slightly awkward. This feels so good.
Interesting.
Mm.
I jerked off my fingers once in a glove because I was trying to figure out how to, like, I was trying to understand what it felt like to have a penis and, like, in a condom. And mm-hmm. I was, like, using lube and I was geeking out by myself. But that's so much more simple than what I was trying to do, which was, like, pulling on my fingers and being like, what is this lube? How does it help? What do I get? And I was...
That's such a sign of a sex nerd.
But yeah, what you'll probably enjoy this is I was trying to figure out a safe way to have a demonstration heavy kissing class.
Because
I feel like there's some basics around that art form. I feel like everyone's got their style.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dancing, but some people need to learn a little more rhythm, you know, like loosen up their hips. And so my friend and I, we had dental dams and cellophane wrap. And we tried kissing with different materials.
Oh, interesting.
To see if I could do a class where everyone had their cellophane or just like tons of Glad wrap. And I could just kiss people and not think about, you know, transmission of anything.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And I mean, it's definitely on the edge where I'm like, wow, I'm not sexual with people when I'm teaching. But I felt like that's kind of sweet.
Mm. Well, I do think sometimes some of these more basic things are what people often really want to know, like how to be a better kisser.
Right. You know? But the end of that story is it's horrible. Dental dam kissing is the worst thing ever. P.S. I like the sensation of dental dams. Mm. I think that dental dams have a definite place for more than just safety.
Absolutely. Like, I often teach women about or teach people about how the clitoris, often people with clitorises don't like direct stimulation, but put a little bit of lube, put a dental dam over it, and you're good to go.
Yeah. It's interesting how it changes the game completely. Mm-hmm. For sure. Do you have any tips around dental dam holding or like placement?
Oh, that one's so hard. Like the holding and the placement. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one advantage of the plastic wrap over a dental dam is you can have kind of a bigger piece and kind of hold it in place a little easier. Do you have any tips? People ask me about that. I don't have a good tip.
Jaya and I were talking about that many moons ago on an episode, and it was definitely like, how do you hold it? I mean, there is the garter belt. There's Good Vibes has an actual dental dam garter belt.
Oh, really?
Crotchless panties help hold it in place.
Oh.
But then it's this magical place where it's not, you don't pull it so tight. Mm-hmm. So you still have some movement and it can move with you, but not so loose that it crumples up and like no longer is a barrier and instead is sort of like moving out of the way. And you're like, wait, where'd my dam go? Where'd it go? Come back. And so I haven't perfected it yet as to how to make it awesome.
I'd love to learn though. If somebody's got any fantastic dental dam tips, I'd really like to know.
Okay. Do you know about the inside out glove tip?
inside out glove tip.
Yeah, this I didn't find that this works with nitrile gloves, but and actually we did this at a previous podcast, the Awkward Moments podcast.
Please tell me.
But you take a latex glove and you turn it inside out,
uh-huh,
and then put it on because the inside is smoother for your hand to slide in. But if you put it on the outside, it feels incredibly sensual. I wish I had a glove here. Oh my God, I wish I had gloves in my car because I could totally show you and it's amazing.
I would love to see that.
It's really fun.
I'm sorry,
at parties.
I don't have gloves. Sometimes I carry around my like demo female condom because people are always asking me like, what's a female condom? And I'll do a demonstration on my hand. Sometimes I have that in my purse.
Awesome. We're like friends now or something. No, it's interesting to talk to someone who works in the public health forum because I don't work, like, I'm more in the entertainment pleasure zone, and you're more in the, you come from more the disease prevention, but, like, holistic health standpoint.
I think my feel, like, the feel, the spaces that I inhabit tend to be more of that disease-focused stuff. It's, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one in the room who wants to talk about orgasm and pleasure and things like that, which is sort of funny. And then I go into, like, kind of a more of a pleasure kink focus space and I feel like I'm the most vanilla person in the room and it's very weird to occupy that space.
Like, who am I? It's weird to have one foot in such a different world.
Absolutely. It's a strange thing, but it's cool. I mean, that's where I feel like that's me to inhabit that space.
Or I feel, I mean, come on, I live and work in the Hollywood world and I mean Nerdist, I'm like the health girl, like the, you know.
Yeah,
fun is fun and but also learning things, you know, about your body.
I love learning things from you though. Like, I didn't know butt bag. That one's new to me. I'm gonna share that in Australia.
Oh my God, butt bag. Oh, you said that your brother was involved as to why you wanted to be on the show so bad.
Oh yeah, it was really funny. My eldest brother, he sent me a tweet like a week ago saying, oh Kate, have you heard of this podcast? Like, it sounds so totally like something you'd be into. It's called Sex Nerd Sandra. And I got to write back to him, I'm actually gonna be on her show. And it was kind of awesome that I got to brag to my brother that way. It was
aww,
funny.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
Yeah
my little sister brags about me to her friend. She's like, she's got so many Twitter followers. I'm like, oh, this is awkward. Like, so then like I'm like somebody in a zoo when I'm at my parents' house and she brings friends over and like points at me as they walk. They're all teenagers. They just judge me silently and walk by.
I get phone calls from my mom's friends.
Oh, yeah? Like, my vagina's this. My vagina's that.
I got someone asking me for erotica recommendations recently, which was cool.
Do you have erotica recommendations?
I like anything that Rachel Kramer Bussell edits. I tend to be a fan of her
okay
stuff. Yeah.
All right. Like the shorter stories, the anthologies.
Yeah. Well, I like those because they're kind of a collection. Mm-hmm. And if you're not really into one thing, you can kind of look at other things and it's still worth your money, even if they don't all do it right. It's a good way to explore.
I don't know. I seem to like the long form erotica more.
Like, or which ones do you like?
Oh, like, I don't know, Man with a Maid. I'm really into, like, the BDSM stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Don't judge.
I don't judge. No, or, like, just going to the erotica archives, like, online and just, like, picking some filthy story and being like, that one's hot. But
are you reading, like, slash fic?
Not so much. I did get into X-Men slash fic for a while. Oh, wait, slash fic is when it's two male characters turn gay in the story?
Yes, I've heard it also described to, like, two different canons, like if you have like Buffy the Vampire Slayer having sex with Captain Picard or something.
Oh, and you're blending it all together.
Something like that, yeah.
No, it's all very
satisfying. It's not my expertise. I just think it's kind of interesting.
Hey, that's why porn parodies are so much fun. It's because you already have established characters that everyone knows, identifies with, understands their background, and then you're just like, boning time, guys. It's great. It's perfect. Of course we're going to do that. You know, it's like Barbie and Ken. You're like, oh, Ken. Like, oh, Barbie, stick in my butt. I'm like, oh, yes, I will. I'm like, ooh, it's so tight in there, Ken. Or whatever. That's just how we are. Wait, is there anything else you wanted to say about this stuff?
I feel like you kind of let me say everything I needed to say.
Any questions you want me to ask you?
I don't know. Do you have any questions for me?
Always. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I don't know. I learned so much from my own personal experiences lately that I'm weird. I know things. I'm learning more from my own experience, and I realize how skewed my perception has become because I've been looking at science research a lot lately, especially in the social psychology realm, because I find how people date and how people fall in love, how people choose their partners, how people experience just social interaction very interesting. And also my own experiences have started to inform, because so much of it was book nerdiness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized at some point, oh, I need to learn what the reality is of trying this out. And so I've, you know, tried things just be like, oh yeah, I don't like that, but it's kind of neat. Or
I could see how that would work for some people.
Right. Yeah. Or, I mean, you know, I get to be the girl at the, you know, the dog pile orgy being like, how does it feel when she does that? How about that? Oh, tell me everything. How are you doing? Oh, is that good? Do you need something? Maybe more? Is that no? You know, whatever it's going on. And so, I don't know. So I have a really odd cross section of learning and knowledge.
I think that's rich, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting. Although, I mean, I haven't actually announced it yet, but I'm doing my SFISI training, which is very exciting. I mean,
I think you will enjoy that.
Definitely. San Francisco Sex Information.
I did the training back in 2008, I believe. 2008 or 2009? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did it change your life?
It was awesome. I learned lots of things. I'm having brunch with one of the people who volunteer for SFISI while I'm up in San Francisco. She's fancy. One of my favorite people ever.
Fancy, fancy. Mm. Well, I'm excited because that will give me a nice little foundation of stuff that I feel like I've probably missed a couple things along the way.
It's a really good, thorough foundation.
Mm-hmm. Plus, with all the sex positive sort of like, woo, I'm so enthusiastic about everything. And then it's like these people will be like, all right, maybe calm down on the enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And here are some things that maybe you need to talk about a little bit more. And, you know, I feel like they're going to play with my mixer board a little bit.
I bet that there will be other people in the training that will fangirl all over you, fanboy all over you.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not sure. People, I don't know. I'm doing the like nerd hunch and like touching my arm with my hand. Like, I don't
You're
going
to be the celebrity.
We're all special children of the sex nerdiness. Kate McCombs, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people find out more about you?
You can find out more about me at sexgeekdom.com.
Mm-hmm.
SexGeekdom.com. There's an About Kate section on there. And then I'm on Twitter at KateCom.
Excellent.
KateCom.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's absolutely my pleasure.
Ah, go team fun.
Go team fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.